The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to a very special Tilehurst End Podcast with your host Mark Mayer. And joining me for this international break, as there's not too much Reading to discuss, is a look back through at one of the greatest teams, or basically the greatest team in Reading history. That is the 106 point winning team in 2005-06. Joining me to do that is Glenn Little. We had a chat on basically everything from his first couple of years in the game in Northern Ireland, through across to Burnley, Reading, the injuries that blighted his career, and how he's getting on now. And of course, there is the mention of a particular song that is very famous at Reading Football Club now, which Glenn had just a helping hand in bringing through. Please enjoy. So Glenn, welcome to the Tilehurst End. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on with us. A legend of the 2005-2006 season and a couple of other seasons as well, a couple of loan spells and whatnot. But let's begin this chat with a look back in the mid-90s and yourself as a winger trying to learn his trade. Went to Northern Ireland, which was an interesting place to sort of to cut your teeth, as it were. And with Belfast club Glen Torren, you're not the only Reading star to have sort of started his career in Ireland and worked his way through there. But how did that come about, and what was Irish football like in the 1990s?
Yeah, but a bit strange, like you said. Just a youngster growing up at Crystal Palace. I was the local lad, and you always just think you're going to come through there, but it wasn't to be. And I actually had a loan spell. I got sent off in a reserve game, and so I was basically banned for a month. I wasn't going to be able to play.
I can honestly say it wasn't my fault.
I jumped up for a header, and unfortunately the player was about 5'5", and so my elbow just caught him. I couldn't even see him. I just went to take it on. I think you know me anyway. It wasn't as if I could jump and win a header anyway, but he went down, and I turned round thinking, what's happened there? And the ref sent me off. So, yeah, bad decision, and I couldn't believe it. But because even though it was a reserve game, it's classed as three first team games.
Oh,
so if you add them all up, by the time it was pretty much, I wasn't going to be able to play for a month. And so at first I actually went to Derry City on loan. The one of the people at Crystal Palace, one of the staff that he knew, someone, the manager of Derry City, I think they were struggling at the time as well and needed a few players. So three of us went out there for a month, and so got a taste of that. And so that actually went quite well. Played four or five games, enjoyed my time there. I had to live out there for a month. Again, a bit of an experience. Just people might not remember, but it was just as the peace and process had just taken place. So, yeah, bit different. A boy from London going out there to live in Derry for a month, but was treated fantastic and had a good time. But then just done the month there, came back. It was just before Christmas, and then got the phone call for Glen Torren. I actually thought, well, it's just before Christmas. I don't really want to go back to Ireland to play, and I want to spend time at home with my family. But then they said, no, we'll just fly you in for the games. So I thought, oh, okay, sounds good. And that was that. So just I did that to the end of the season, flying in for the games and flying back after. And again, went really well. Enjoyed my time there. And then at the end of the season, my contract was up with Crystal Palace. So I signed properly for good, like a 2-year deal.
Yeah, and it was interesting, the sort of, what was the quality of Irish football then? Was it a good place for you as a winger who, you know, as I guess your sort of game was based around a bit of having experience, knowing what defenders are going to do, knowing the sort of the timing and the decision making?
I was only 18, 19, so yeah, I don't know about having the experience, but actually I was a centre midfielder. So I grew up a centre midfielder, and it was just luck, really. Well, I don't know about luck. I just done them a favour. In the first couple of games, I actually played centre midfield. And then we had an evening game. I flew in for the night game. And we had a few injuries. Someone wasn't well. And we were sort of down to the bare bones. And we never had a right winger. And the manager said, look, can you just do a job? In the reserves, I had played on the left, on the right. I think when you're a youngster, sometimes you just have to go where there's a place and fill in somewhere. So I said, look, I'm a centre midfielder, but I have played on the right before in the reserves. And it was they had an old centre midfielder as well, an old experience. He was about 37. So I said, look, leave him in centre midfield. You can't expect a 37-year-old to go out on the wing. I'm a youngster. Look, I'll go out and play right wing. And two man of the matches later, that was that. And it was great. Yeah, I've always said, just to play men's football. I know nowadays they've changed with all this under 21, under 23 football in the academies, but I don't think that's the way at all. The best thing to do when you're 18, 19, get out there into men's football, and especially Ireland. It was tough. The pitches weren't great at times, and you're playing against people that want to kick you. and even as an English player as well, you're playing against, there was the religion that came into it as well. There was, you're playing against Catholic players. There were games I didn't half get some stick from the crowd because I was English, and it was great for me. It makes you grow up fast, and instead of playing in front of 50 people in the reserves, you're playing in front of a couple of thousand at Glentor, and the games mean something. You're actually trying to win the league. You're trying to win the cups. And fortunately for me, it went great. And the one thing I wanted to win something, and I managed to win the Irish Cup. So it was the best thing for me to do, to go out there and you're in the real world. You're playing against grown men, and it was something you never forget, especially the Irish Cup final. And not only did you win, but it was 1-0. I scored the winning goal, and it was the goal of the season. So that really started my career.
Yeah, goal of the season is certainly something you've got a bit of an association with. We'll get onto that in a little bit later. But yeah. as you were starting your career out then, and as you sort of headed towards Burnley as well, what sort of winger were you? Did you have yourself pinned down as you knew you were going to be that tricky winger, bit of skill here and there, going to take players on? Or did you think that, you know what, I can be a bit of a pace merchant? Or what sort of player did you have yourself
on? Yeah, well, I was never a pace merchant. But no, the thing I always just pride myself on, I know people always think sort of running with a ball and the tricky winger taking players on. And the one thing that stands out, everybody always tells me about the chop. Where that was my sort of the great trick, I had the chop. But I always used to pride myself on just keeping the ball. Just don't lose the ball. That goes back from being a central midfielder. Don't give the ball away. So first things first, I always wanted to just keep possession. Don't give that ball away. Pass the ball well. And then the beating players as well. I could run with the ball as well. So that sort of came into it. So I had two strings to my bow, really. But I think, you know, it was never really about the pace. But yeah, just getting the move to Burnley, just an exciting time for me. Again, a young player. I've gone from Northern Ireland, then I've had to go and live in Burnley, about 3 or 4 hours away from home. And it was something that was my chance now. And when I signed, just seeing Burnley in terms of League One, it was probably the biggest club in League One. Just Turf Moor, a great place to play. And the one thing I wanted to do, just set out, all my aim was just to try and be a regular in the team. And I think it worked out probably just a bit better than that.
Yeah, you had a bit of interest from, whether you could say Premier League teams or Championship teams at that point. How far did you think you could go as you became a regular at Burnley and you thought, hang on, my career, you know, you're still a young player, I can actually get some real momentum here and end up in the Premier League?
Yeah, but what I did, there was so much interest, and it was just the rumours, and every sort of month that there was a season, every month I was being linked, and it just never materialised. I think in some ways as well, because of the success Burnley had, I think if we'd have been a struggling side, then they would have just sold me and took the money. Mm. Or even a side that weren't really doing anything, I probably would have had a couple of years. I think someone would have put a bid in, and that was that. But because my career ascended with Burnley as well, we had a promotion. We then went into the Championship and never really thought we'd do anything. And there we were again, pushing for the playoffs, top of the league at one season. So again, Burnley just didn't want to sell me because we were trying to get to the Premier League as a club. But unfortunately, the ITV Digital that happened that killed lots of clubs in the Championship, and my time at Burnley was never the same after that.
Yeah, and there is an interesting sort of debate to be had, I suppose, between Burnley and Reading fans as the two sort of clubs you were at your peak at, if you like.
Yes.
Which of the two clubs do you think you played your best football for?
I think both, really. I was lucky. I think that you do get some players that play well at a club and can't do it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But I was lucky that I had a great time at Burnley and did so well. And then you go to Reading, and I'd say probably even Reading did better in terms of the success, because we did the one thing that I was trying to do at Burnley, and that was promotion. And we had those sort of two, 3 years at Burnley trying to make the Premier League, just fell short. We deserved to make the playoffs. I think we had 2 years, finished seventh, and missed out by a point, and missed out on goal difference being top at Christmas. So I was playing the year we nearly went up, and when we were top at Christmas, that's when Manchester City bid £5 million for me. And so I was playing great, and then unluckily, which blighted my career really, was injuries. I was stop start after Christmas, never really just could get back to the form I showed before Christmas, and it ended up with us finishing seventh, missing out on goal difference, and then the ITV digital happened, and we could never get back there. Whereas I signed for Reading, and we did get there and kicked on in the Premier League and had a great time in the Premier League. So they were the two sort of clubs of my career, and I was lucky. I had a great time at both, and the supporters as well. When they take you, it always helps.
Yeah, and in that first spell at Reading, you came in on loan in 2002, 2003 to begin with. Reading got to the playoffs that season. What was your sort of first impression of the club? What did you think when you arrived through the door first day?
Just a lovely club with the new stadium as well. And that I knew the plans with the training ground. I knew the chairman. He was ambitious, wanted to get to the Premier League. And just the time I came in, the only thing is, it was a bit stop start. And with Pards as manager, I got put on the left at times. I was put up front for a couple of games, I think. And I never played on the right. Like the first game I played against Brighton, that was my best game. We lost, but I actually got man of the match on my debut. So I thought, oh, well, we lost against Brighton live on the Sky, but I'm off to a good start. And then after that, I was, like I said, I was on the left, I was up front, and then never got settled until the Wolves game, the second leg. I missed the first leg because I wasn't well. And then I came in for the second leg, played on the right again. And again, that was probably my best game. So I'd never really played in my position. But we were unlucky that those two games against Wolves, we probably dominated 160 minutes out of 180, but went out. So, again, I always felt that Reading, okay, they're close, and look out for them next season. But I had to go back. If I'd been out of contract, I probably would have come back again. But I had a year left, so I went back to Burnley, done my year, and then Pards left. So you're thinking, oh, might not get the chance, but then in came someone I knew from my past, Steve Coppell, and he signed me at the end of the season. And so to play for him, growing up at Crystal Palace, being a Manchester United fan, he was my favourite player as a sort of a 7-8 year old, 6-7 year old, and to get that opportunity to come to Reading, play for him, which I didn't get at Crystal Palace. It was just to have the success we had. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting to go between Pardew and Coppell. I suppose you have slightly different sort of management styles there. What was for Pardew for the first sort of stint you had? What's your opinion on Alan Pardew? He's still in management now, perhaps doing it. He's got a bit of a bad reputation these days, and certainly among Reading fans after we went to West Ham, and you remember probably in the first season you came back playing against West Ham was always a massive
beating them, Kitson hat trick. It was, wasn't it? It was good. We had a great record against West Ham at the time as well, didn't we? We kept beating them. We kept coming back to the Medeski, and I think the year before when he left, after I think they might have beaten them 2-0. Did you remember that? And then I came back the next season. We beat them 3, I think, in Kitson. Yeah, that hat trick. We were going for a bad spell at the time as well. I don't think we won for about 12 games. And then luckily, Pards turned up. But yeah, we'd have liked to have played him every week. But no, I got on great with Pards. I really liked him. Like you said, totally different character, a lot more outspoken. He's got something to say. He loves the banter, which was sort of right up my street, really. But it was, like I said, I just didn't play my proper position. I didn't when I came down. But as a manager, you have to say he did well at Reading. And yeah, he was someone who I liked. But again, I knew Alan Pardew from my time at Crystal Palace. He was a player at Palace, and then to get that opportunity, because once he left Reading, I thought, oh well, that goes the end of that. I won't be going back there. But luckily, Steve Coppell came in, and that was it. I spoke to him in about January time. He was actually really good friends with Stan Turnant, who was my Burnley manager, and they basically sorted him out for himself. I know Stan. He knew I was going to be leaving on the free transfer, so they pretty much sorted out. For once, I didn't have to do a lot of talking. And then I got the chance to come and play for Cox and to have that success. It was special. It meant even more that, like I said, when you're a kid, I remember going into Crystal Palace as a 9-year-old with my pictures of him, and he'd just got the job. He'd just been in the job a couple of weeks at Crystal Palace, and there was me in the office room signing my pictures, and I was meeting someone who sort of was my favourite player at Manchester United and a winger as well. It was great for him to come in at Reading and have that promotion and in the Premier League. It was the greatest time of our lives on and off the pitch.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because especially with Coppell, there was a sense with him as he probably as a player very similar to you, I guess, and he obviously was aware of you for a few years and whatnot before. It was a sense that when he was building that team for 05-06, it was almost all his mates. It was all the players that he knew of, players like Sonko and Hunt he knew of before, Sidwell. For him to be able to build that team and for you to be a part of it, it was a very good way of building a team. It wasn't sort of too many cooks can spoil the broth sort of thing. It was what he wanted.
I think with Cox, one of his biggest strengths as a manager was building the team. We always said it, he could put the jigsaw together, and he did it at Crystal Palace. And the similarities, I remember me and Ronnie Downs talking about it. It was pretty much the same team he had at Palace. You had your Wright and Bright, which was your Kitson was your Bright, and Ian Wright was probably Doyley and Leroy Leiter put together. He was two players into an Ian Wright. You had Sonko and Ivor at the back, which was Andy Fong and Eric Young. You had your Murty and Shorey at the back, and you had Siddy and Harps, who were probably his Andy Gray and Jeff Thomas. And Nigel Martin in goal, it was Marcus. So it was like the identical teams he put together about 15 years later? Maybe longer, 15, 20 years later, that team he put together at Palace. And it just worked so well. And it all came together. It was a special time for us all. And after losing to Plymouth, I don't think we expected it as well. We would have probably taken mid-table after that first game. but to go on the run we did, and it was just, like I said, it was just the first time for us all as well. It wasn't like we had 5 or 6 players who had played in the Premier League and had dropped down and got us up. We were all just Championship players. That's what we knew. And we were all in it together. And look, going up's great, but to go up in record points, 33 games unbeaten as well, just breaking records after records, I don't think any of us could believe it.
Yeah, and one of those moments in that season that almost defined your season as well was the chip against Plymouth, as your recollection of that, what was kind of running through your mind? Because I've seen it a couple of times. The thing is, when you're playing for Wealdstone a few years later, I did something in training.
It was always something I did in training. I used to haunt Feds and Ben Hamer and Marcus in training. It was something. It's great that when you actually take it into a game and it comes off. But nice as well against Plymouth, because it was the revenge game. They'd been the only team who'd beat us that season, and we couldn't believe it. Last minute goal as well in injury time, was it? We should have beat them that day, and yet they nicked a win against us. So yeah, there was that that revenge. We wanted to get our own back. And strangely enough, they should have actually scored and right before. And the boy was in the box and he smashed it. He about 8 yards out. He smashed it straight at Marcus and should have scored. But Marcus made the save. So that's what I was thinking about. First, I think, oh, that's lucky. They probably should have scored. And then all of a sudden, I think Shorey cleared it. And I was like, oh, okay. And found myself up on the pitch and gave us the lead and ended up winning 2-0 and getting our own back on Plymouth.
Yeah, it seemed like that team as well, the way you described it just before. What was the sort of atmosphere in the dressing room? Was it very easy for you to sort of make friends and everything in the dressing room? Because obviously yourself comes across as someone, you know, you could probably talk to the bus driver all the way home if you had to, just for a nice little chat on the way.
So I struggled, mate. When I first went in there, it took me at least 25 minutes to start running the dressing room. It was a struggle. But the good thing for me as well is because I'd had the loan spell, I knew people, so the likes of Aidy were still there for us, and Siddy and Shorey and Mertz, so I could just go straight in. It was easy for me, even though I was that type of character anyway. I could settle in with anyone. I got well with all the players, so it was comfortable. It was an easy dressing room to come into, and we're just a good bunch of lads. And when you're experiencing that success together, when you haven't experienced it. Like I said, none of us had really played in the Premier League. So we all had that one goal and it all clicked. And it made you feel like what people must feel like playing for Manchester United and Arsenal, where you're just winning game after game after game. You're top of the league. And for once in our lives, we actually got to experience what it must be like playing for those top clubs in the Premier League when you're running away with a league and you've hardly lost a game.
Yeah, you mentioned Graham Murty there. Was it in training and whatnot and before games, did you ever discuss the whole overlap idea? Because it was such an essential part of Koppel's game, was get it out wide, the fullbacks overlap. Was that something you even needed to discuss? Was it just something that naturally happened?
No, it was natural. I remember, like I said, when I came on loan, it was just that first game against Brighton and the last game against Wolves. The only game I played on the right out of about 7-8 games I played. And even with Mertz then, I was easy to play with Mertz. So I'd even on the loan spell, straight away, I thought, nah, Mertz, we're fine. And then obviously coming back and then those seasons again. But we never had to work on anything. It was like that all over the pitch, the combinations. You had Shorey and Convey on the other side. You had Siddy and Arps in the midfield. You had Leroy and Kitts or Doyle up front, whoever played. And Ivor and Sonks at the back, perfect combination. So me and Mertz, it was just how it all came together. Like I said, the jigsaw for managers. This is what managers are trying to do at every club across the country. You're trying to put the jigsaw together. And as we see, lots of them don't. You can't get the pieces in the right place. But with us, it was perfect. And that's why we did so well. And going up into the Premier League, why we took it into the Premier League, because we were all so comfortable playing with each other.
And there is, among the celebrations and everything of that season, there is a sort of a question that we probably need to get to the bottom of in terms of what has become a sort of club, a club staple now, is that song Sweet Caroline. And it all emanated out of that season, I believe. And you yourself might have had a part to play in that.
Yeah, it was when we were out in Portobello, we were at the end of season trip. But it wasn't the end of season. We always used to go the week before the end of season, which I suppose was a bit strange. Didn't train out there, but luckily we always had the season wrapped up by then. So we were out in a restaurant, and there was the seven of us. It was me, Siddy, Shorey, John Alls, Chris Makin, John Oster and Graham Stack. That's it, the seven. And we were just all singing songs, and me and Mako started singing that, and everyone thought, oh, we know this one, and just singing it, asked to leave the restaurant, weren't we? Getting a bit too loud. So it just started on that trip, really, and then we then went up, and that's the way it was on the coach and everything. It was always played. And the thing is that now there are other clubs that use it, aren't there? And I know I've heard it before in Northern Ireland as well, when the Northern Ireland team played. There are teams around the country that use the song. So, yeah, that's where it all started.
Oh, well, it's still being played now before every game at the Davis game. So it's a nice little legacy to have.
Yeah, it is. But the one thing you want to do, people have talked about the atmosphere to me before in recent seasons. How can you get it going to Sweet Caroline? But as everything, you got to do well. the only way you get the atmosphere in the stadium is by the team winning games, and then that's where it would take off. If the team's playing well and winning, you'll always have that buzz about the stadium and have a good atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. And the 05-06 season we'll talk about just before, I want to obviously talk about the Premiership in a second, but when was that moment when you realised the sort of promotion, the records and everything were possible? Was there kind of one game where you walked off the pitch and thought, we've got this?
Do you know what? The strange thing was that throughout the whole season, no one really mentioned the promotion or the Premier League. That the one thing that kept us going was the unbeaten run. Mm-hmm. And we were so proud of that. And we got it to sort of 10, then it was 12, 15, 20, 25, 30. And the more you kept going with it, that's all we talked about. It was like, If you lose, we've got to start this all over again. And every game just became bigger and bigger, I think, for the other clubs as well. Teams wanted to be the team that say, we've finally beaten Reading, we've ended their run. So every game you go away from home, it was like a cup final. And it was just that momentum we had, that confidence we had. It was just, we don't want to lose now. We've kept this one going. If we lose, we've got to start all over again. So that was all we kept talking about. That's what just spurred us on, really. We were so proud of it. We didn't want to give it up for anyone. And I suppose the first time I knew we could be a good side, what was Ipswich game away. I think probably in about November time, we went to Ipswich, and it was always, Ipswich were similar sort of level to us. They're always a team that were pushing for the playoffs. That's how you judge yourself, really. They're always a good footballing team. And we'd already beaten them at the Madejski on the Sunday. I think it was live on the Sky. We beat them 2-0 when we should have beaten 6 or 7. So we thought, oh, okay, that was a good win against Ipswich. And then it was strange how we only played them a month later. There was a couple of games that usually you have them, and then you have them in the second half of the season. But I can remember it was Ipswich and Hull, I think, that we played two games, and then we played them again the next month. And Ipswich was one of them. And we then went there to Portman Road. And again, that one was 3-0, and it could have been 10 or 12. It was arguably one of the best performances we put in that season, especially away from home. We destroyed them. And the thing was that even after 20 minutes, we should have had 4 or 5 in the first 20 minutes, didn't take our chances. And that's when you think, as a player, okay, that could come back to haunt us now. But then it never. We scored, I think Steady scored the opening goal. And then second half, we scored 2-3-0, but it could have been 10. And that on the way home that night, that's when I thought, hang on a minute, we could be a good side here. We could go close. But it was just that unbeaten run. That was the fuel that drove us on. And then we got up to, was it Luton away, finally lost. And then I can remember coming in the dressing room and Wally Downs just said, we're not going to lose again. We go unbeaten to the end of the season. And again, okay, and we did. I think there was about 10, 11 games left, and that's what happened again. Another unbeaten run to end of the season, and by then we were about 14, 15 clear anyway. So it was like, oh, okay, we put this unbeaten run together, and we're pretty much there now anyway. We probably only need 2 or 3 wins, and the record again, never really thought much about the record. It was just winning the league at Leicester. That winning promotion at Leicester, then it was winning the league against Derby and the celebrations. It was like we were celebrating every week. And and then all of a sudden we got to the end of the season and it was, oh, okay, if we win this, we've got the record. And it ended up being perfect, didn't it, Mert? Smashing that penalty in last game of the season and winning 2-1. And you probably don't feel at the time what you've achieved. For us, it was just the excitement of we've won promotion to the Premier League. But it's only now you look back and the record's still going that you actually realise how special it was and how difficult it was to do.
And was it prearranged for Murty to take that penalty, or was it something discussed beforehand?
I don't know, because I missed about the last 5 or 6 games of the season. So I wasn't in the dressing room or anything. I don't know why Murty took it. The one thing I might have been was that every player had scored.
Yeah, every outfield player.
It might have been some every outfield player had scored. So, again, whether they sort of said beforehand, look, if we get a penalty, Murty will take it, I don't know. But luckily he smashed it in anyway, and the rest is history. But, it was a nice moment for him, and a shame for myself missing out. I'd have loved to have been out there those last few games, but I never got the opportunity. Even the Leicester game, I was actually upstairs watching that game, not being able to take part. Came back for the Derby game, but again, I wasn't fit. I had a problem with my groin, but just nice to get back out there playing that Derby game, the game 5-0 that we won the league.
Yeah, and injuries did, I suppose, from then on, did become a pretty constant fixture in your sort of career. But the first Premier League season, you did get a good run in the team, and obviously unbeaten runs and stuff were kind of few and far between, as we nonetheless finished eighth and everything. So what was your sort of favourite game of a game you played in that Premier League season?
Yeah, there were just so many. It was just, again, the championship, we couldn't believe that, what we'd achieved just with 106 points. That was like you were living a dream. And then to go up into the Premier League, everyone says you'll go down. We never even really signed anyone. I think it was only Sol Keon we brought in.
Yeah.
And I think Sodgy as well. Sam Sodgy came in, but he came in from Brentford, I think it was. So again, they're not exactly signings to get the juices flowing. So for us, it was just, okay, you think you're going to be struggling, you think you're going to have a relegation battle, and especially after 20 minutes of that Middlesbrough game when you're 2-0 down and you're thinking, oh my God, we'll do well to win a game here. But again, the character the boys show to turn that game around. And then, again, that never really looked back. But we had great win. We beat Tottenham at home, again, live on the Sky. That was a great game.
Mm.
We beat West Ham 6-0. Again, you're playing in the Premier League, and any win's a great win in the Premier League. But then to beat West Ham 6, that was on New Year's Day. Just so many winning at Manchester City. We went up there and Leroy scored a couple. Just so many great games, and even one of the best we never won, but Chelsea getting the champions. And I think I might be wrong, but you might know more than me. But going to Stamford Bridge, it might have been the first time you ever went to Stamford Bridge as a club.
Yeah, I think it was. I remember it was on the Boxing Day, and I wanted to go, but with there being no public transport and it also being on the TV, it was a case of, oh, well, we just have to watch it up from home. And that was probably your best performance in the Premier League.
It was, again, going to Stamford Bridge, and you're going to go down as well. We'll go down at half-time, but we've actually done all right. But then Drogba scored, and then we came out. I put the cross in for Leroy, and then they went straight up the other end and scored, and then bit of a freak goal. But we did. We played really well on the day, and there was something special about Boxing Day games. Anyway, as a player, you always feel there's an extra buzz, the extra excitement about Boxing Day games. And so to be going to Chelsea as well, that the home of the champions, that the side they had, such a great team, and to get a draw, that was arguably one of the best games, even though we didn't win. And we felt against the game, actually, the famous game against Chelsea, with Peter Cech and Kulusevski both ending up in hospital.
Mm.
The game everybody remembers. We actually lost 1-0. It was a lucky goal. I think Frank Lampard hit a free kick. It hit about three players and trickled over the line. And we deserved to get a result against them that day as well. So it was nice to go to Stamford Bridge, feeling a bit sorry for ourselves with the game at the Medeski. Should have got a result, but then to get the draw there, great games to play. And then, funnily enough, up to Old Trafford next. That's when you know you're in the Premier League. When you're at Stamford Bridge, and then 3 days later, you're at Old Trafford playing Manchester United. That's what's special about the Premier League. That's when you think, oh, we've made it now, when you're playing those two games. And again, up to Old Trafford 3-2, another exciting game.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that two of their goals were offside as well. So.
But might have been, the Giggs goal was it. I think maybe scored Solskjaer, might have got one. It was unlucky again. And again, the first time I'd ever played at Old Trafford. So, again, you play at Stamford Bridge, Old Trafford, and that's when you're thinking, oh, it's unbelievable. And doing well in the Premier League, it's okay playing at those places, But if you're getting beat 5 and 6, then it's not enjoyable. But we weren't. We were actually competing against them and scoring goals and playing well against these teams.
And Reading almost came, you know, within a whisker of getting into Europe as well. Was that something that was kind of being discussed, as you say, with the promotion and everything the year before? Wasn't really, you kind of wanted to not over-egg and discuss that too much. With Europe,
no.
Was that something that was ever sort of dangled before
no,
you as a bet?
No, it wasn't. Again, we were just all just loving it. We were just enjoying the season. People then was getting the international recognition and with Ireland, and even sure we got the England poll up. So much was happening for the players. So much good was happening. We were all just living the dream. We had a great bunch as well. Great bunch of lads. Everyone got on well. We'd go out together. And so it was just a great time of our lives on and off the pitch. And we did surprise ourselves. There's no doubt about it. We couldn't believe it, how well we'd done. And then it was only again on the last game we went up to Blackburn, and it was, okay, we could get into Europe. And another great game, 3-0 up at Ewood Park on the final day, just missing out.
Yeah, and then we go into the season after, I suppose, obviously. Again, it was a case of coming so close to staying up and ending up obviously going down. But for yourself, it was a season really, pretty much for the 85% of it you were injured for. What was the sort of circumstance around that?
I think 95%, mate, but it was even more than that. Yeah, it's just, the thing was, it started from the season before. I'd had an Achilles problem, and I was just battling through it. And you're taking the painkillers, you're just doing bits and pieces to just try and get you through the games. And then it got to the end of the season, but probably about, I think it was about 5 or 6 games to go. We went to White Hart Lane and we lost 1-0, but I came off about 20 minutes ago. I said to the physio, no, I can't keep doing this. It's just getting harder and harder. And I wasn't doing myself justice by then either. So I pulled out thinking, okay, I'll miss the next 3 or 4 games and I'll be back for the end of the season. Mm. And I was back for the end of the season. Unfortunately, it was a year later. So it's just a bad time, really. I'd always had injuries. Injuries had blighted my career, more so the hamstring injury. But I was always lucky that it was always just 2 or 3 weeks. You do your hamstring, you're out 2 or 3 weeks, little niggle, and then you're back. So you're always getting those sort of between 35, 40 games a season in. But for once, like I said, I thought I'd be out 2 or 3 weeks, ended up being out the whole year, and it really set me back, especially the age I was as well. At that time in my career, you're in the Premier League, I'd waited so long to get there, you'd done so well, and then to have that just taken away from you the whole season. And then what makes it even worse, the team was struggling, and we were battling relegation. I came back right at the end, and it was too late, and then even... And got injured. The game I came on the first time for a year was at Wigan. Came on for about the last 20 minutes and then never played a game after that again. And I think there was 2 games left after that. One of them we actually thumped Derby, but it wasn't enough on the final day.
No, and it wasn't. It was a strange one, because it's probably our best performance of the season, against the worst team.
Worst team ever in Premier League history. It was heartbreaking, because we actually thought if we won, we'd be all right because of Portsmouth and Fulham. Fulham had such a bad away record. They'd won once in about 18 months. Strangely enough, it was about 2 weeks before, isn't it? They were 2-0 down to Manchester City with about 20 minutes to go and came back on 1-3-2. So, couldn't believe they won that. But going down to Portsmouth, you're thinking they won't win there. Portsmouth were a good side in the FA Cup final, but I can remember actually getting home and actually watching the game, and Portsmouth just dominated the game. Should have had 3 or 4, put the game to bed, missed chances. And then Fulham had hardly had a shot, put one set play in and a header, and it went, and we were down. So it was heartbreaking, for that to happen.
I think that in my mind, I've always felt that if Reading had stayed up that year, then that would have been pretty much the blip that would have otherwise resulted in Reading being up for 4 or 5 years after.
Maybe.
And hopefully being sort of settled in that. Is that something that you see as well? Or?
Maybe, yeah. I've not thought about it too much, really. Now you've just said it, yeah, but possibly it could have been. I just remember feeling, like I said, it was heartbreaking because I'd never played as well, and that makes it worse because you always feel, even if I'd have played 5 or 6 games, that surely it would have got a point in one of those games, or a couple of goals. So it was just a horrible situation. Me actually being out all that time as well, being injured, and not being able to help, knowing that, like I said, I've only needed to play 5 or 6 games, and I think that would have got us at least a point, a couple of goals, and that we would have been safe again. So, yeah, just a real shame that we all the momentum we had and what a great time we had all went away in that one season.
Well, the club did, obviously, with your injuries, the club did attempt to sort of sign players in because I think it was Rossini and Doyle were sort of shifted out to the right-hand side.
Put out there, I think so many, yeah. I think Shane, Simon Cox, John Oster, we sold Keon. We went for about 7 or 8 right-wingers, and unfortunately, but it was just the way the team was, well, for some reason, we never had the same feel about us. We lost City as well to Chelsea, and Sonks had the knee injury. He maybe came back too early again because the goals were going in. We weren't doing as well, so Sonks maybe rushed back, and he was never the same, and he was a big player at the back for us, wasn't he, Superman? So a couple of players lost form as well, and that it all sort of went wrong for us. But we still seemed okay. If you actually look at the season, we were 12th and 13th and 12th and 13th, and then we slipped down to about 15th, 16th. But we never really looked in trouble. You always felt we'd have enough and we'd be okay. And it was just right at the end, those last 5 or 6 matches.
Yeah, well, one player that we did sign that I suppose became a bit of a cult figure as he signed in the January of that season was Jimmy Kebbe, and he went on to, you know, he's well known by all the fans now. Yeah. What was your sort of first impression of him and from the time you were at the club?
Just looked like he was playing in roller skates when he first came in, and unfortunately he just wasn't good enough to help us. We needed players to come in and actually do well, and it didn't work for him. But fair play to Jimmy. He had that pace, and he was always a dangerous player. And he did go on and do well for the club and enjoyed the playoff run, didn't he? Unfortunately, losing to Swansea. And I'm not sure, did he have a promotion with the club? I think he did.
Yeah, he was part of the 11-12 team.
Was the 11-12. So, yeah, you have to say, fair play. It, at the time, it didn't work for us. But in the long run, yeah, Jimmy did well for the club.
Yeah, certainly, as you say, got a lot of pace, but didn't always take the ball with him.
Got better. Yeah, got better and did improve and went on to do well. But unfortunately, we needed him to come in and do well straight away and help keep us up. And Marek as well, Matijovski came in, didn't give us that impetus either. Although scored that unbelievable goal at Liverpool, what a strike for him! One that he'll never forget. But just putting it all together, never really settled in like you'd hope.
Yeah, and back to yourself, obviously, the end of that season, you left and went to Portsmouth. You then came back to Reading on a loan spell for the second half of the next season. They do say never go back, and obviously, I suppose you had already come back to Reading once. What was the sort of, you know, why was the sort of reason for you coming back for the second time for the second half of that season?
Well, it was just I got the phone call, and I wanted to play at Portsmouth. I wasn't playing, a new manager had come in, and so I just wanted to play, and I got phoned up with Sheffield United, strangely enough as well, who were involved with us in the playoffs. They actually made the playoffs as well, so they rang me up and said, look, we're trying to win promotion. So at first I thought, okay, I'll go and play for Sheffield United and try and win another promotion. I knew the assistant manager there, Sam Ellis, so for my time at Burnley. And so when Sam rung me, he said, look, we're going well. Can you come in and we might have a chance of going up? So that's what was in my mind. Okay, maybe win another promotion. And then I thought the deal was going to get done. And then Reading came in and spoke to Cops, and he said no. So obviously, if it's a choice of Reading and Sheffield United, there was only one winner. And I spoke to Cops, and again, it was a chance of winning another promotion, and I thought, let's go back, even though at the time that the team, they looked like they were going to blow it, that there were some bad results, they were struggling to win games, but I thought, look, if I can go in and help, wouldn't that be great to go back up again? So that's how it came about, but it ended up Sheffield, we lost in the playoffs to ironically to Burnley, my old club.
Yeah.
And Sheffield United actually got to the final, but they lost to Burnley as well.
Well, obviously that season ended up being the final season of Steve Coppell at Reading, and having been someone who, you know, you kind of were there in the early days and there for the end, what was the sense that you had, especially after that Burnley game or leading up to it as well, with Coppell resigning? Did you sense that, you know, something's not quite right here? It had come to a sort of natural conclusion with him being at the club?
Yeah, well, I was a bit surprised, because when you lose in the playoffs, it's not like you've done a bad job. So
yeah.
But I think it was just the second half of the season. If you look at the results, the results weren't good, really. And but again, you lose in the playoffs, you think there's every chance. Okay, you go back and you do it all again next year. So yeah, I was a bit surprised. But the one thing that you know about Cops, if he feels it times up, he doesn't hang around, he's gone. I think you've seen that throughout his career. And the thing was, Bristol City as well, they'll probably say they're not happy with the way he feels sometimes. But again, that's Cops. He went in there and I think he lasted about two or three games there. But he saw it wasn't right, and that was it. He was off from there as well. So, yeah, but Bristol City fans won't have a high opinion of him. But for Reading, yeah, the greatest manager we ever had, but if he just feels no, it's just not the way he wants it, he won't hang around. He'll go and he'll do something else.
No, and I remember thinking that after the relegation season, he almost left then, and it was kind of only really the fans that sort of pulled him back in.
So yeah, that's why he give it. Yeah, he probably felt give it the one more season.
Yeah.
And if we go up, great. If we don't, that will be it. So yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, well, final couple of questions then for yourself. As thank you very much for giving us your Sunday morning for a nice little chat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just, well, it's better than watching the cricket, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah.
I was going to watch the cricket, but I don't know. Better to talk to you.
better to think about some better times. So obviously after Reading, you went across sort of Sheffield United and Aldershot and into non-league. How were those sort of final years of in non-league and becoming quite a popular player at places like Wrexham and stuff? Was it just was it purely a case of doing it for the love of the game?
Just the enjoyment, yeah. And because I felt robbed of those last years with my Achilles injury, I couldn't play the way I wanted to play. So I just felt robbed. So just because of you just love being a footballer, it's all I'd ever known doing. So, yeah, I just got the opportunity to, when you get the phone call, I thought, OK, let's give it a go. And Wrexham, it was Dean Saunders. He was a great lad, Dino. And when he rang me up, it's similar to myself, like the way we were talking. We were on the phone for about an hour. I'd never come across him before, but you'd think you knew him your whole life. So, yeah, went up there and had a great time. Played in a couple of playoffs there as well. Unfortunately, my record wasn't good in the playoffs. I think I had about four or five goals and lost every one. But, yeah, went up to Wrexham, ended up playing at Wembley twice. So, strange. I played my whole career, never played at Wembley. Went down to the conference with Wrexham and ended up playing there twice in the space of a month. So yeah, again, that was nice at Wrexham. Unluckily, we didn't go up. That was a shame. But then, yeah, thinking I was going to finish and then just done the World Star as well. Got into non-league, just playing for friends, really, and helping out the coaching side with them and going to World Star and having that promotion there, doing similar to what we'd done at Reading. We nearly got to 100 points at Wealdstone, so helping the non-league club win promotion. I think they'd lost in the playoffs the last couple of times. So first thing I spoke to the manager, he said, your experience in the playoffs, I think, will help us. And I said, look, with my playoff record, forget about the playoffs. I think we better go up. So we better win the league. So we went and did it. So, yeah, the one season helping Wealdstone win the league, that was great.
Yeah, so you've definitely got Reading in your blood if you've had a few playoff failures in you.
Yeah. And since I've left, yeah, they've had a few heartaches since. It's it's unbelievable, really. You're thinking all those times, one's bound to go your way, but we're still waiting. But maybe this season.
Yeah, well, in as well, after your sort of playing career, you've had a couple of goes in like coaching and whatnot. You've also had a couple of media appearances with the likes of BBC Barks and everything. Where have you most enjoyed your sort of post playing career?
Yeah, but both really. I think when you've been a footballer all your life, that's all you know. Just being in that dressing room, it is great. Even in non-league, it's the players are all the same. They all act the same way. The only difference is the money side of things and the glory. That's the big difference. But you meet some great people in non-league, so that keeps you involved and it keeps that love of the game going. But also, I love doing the BBC Berkshire and seeing it from the other side, where you're now behind the scenes in the stand and not in that dressing room going out on the pitch. You're seeing it from off the pitch side. So yeah, that's enjoyable and keeps you watching games, which is nice. And it hasn't always been easy doing the Reading games, as you know, but it's nice that this season you just feel something might be different. So that's what we're hoping. But since I have done the radio, Berkshire, there's not been a lot to cheer about. but you just get a feeling that this season that put it this way, I don't think we'll be in a relegation battle. But it would be nice if we could even push up, and who knows, a playoff push.
Well, that's the beauty of the Championship, isn't it? You can be in an awful position one season, and the next
one it changes.
Be a decent.
It's so volatile, isn't it, that you can just turn it round and look at Norwich and Cardiff. There's so many examples in there when Huddersfield beat us in the playoff final. Didn't I think they were battling relegation the season before? That is the dream of the Championship, the dream of the Premier League. If it all comes together and you have three or four players who have the season of their life, you make a couple of good signings, that you get on a roll, you get that confidence and belief, and you get up there towards the top end of the table, you start believing it can happen. We've seen it. We've read in, haven't we? We've proven it. It can happen. And look... maybe not this season, but you never know. We have had some new players come in. If they can have a big impact on the club, like I said, I don't think it'll be a relegation battle like the last couple of seasons. I think we will do better. So who knows? Like if you do get on a roll, we could be sat here at the end of the season, maybe another trip to Wembley.
Oh God, that almost sounds terrible.
Go up. Yeah, let's just finish in the top two.
Yeah, it's much easier that way, isn't it? with the final thing I wanted to ask you, I suppose, with the obviously Reading are such a big academy club at the moment as well, and I'm sure from your perspective as to how you sort of learned your trade as a young player compared to how young players are at the moment, obviously with all the social media and everything, the sort of hype you can get, the big money that's gone on offer to players as soon as they turn sort of 16, 17. What would your sort of advice be to young players at the moment? What would you say to a player like Danny Loder, a player like Michael Olise, who are just breaking into the Reading team, and how to sort of, how to make that next step as a footballer?
It's tough because I never experienced it. It's always difficult when you're talking about the money from back in my day when I was 15, 16 to what they're earning now. It's easy for me to sit here and say, you've got to play for the love of the game. You've got to want it. You've got to have that work ethic. Forget about the money. It's all about your performance and about your career. But when you never had that type of money, it's difficult for these young lads when it's all thrown at them. It's easy for them to get carried away. And look, when in my day, when I was that age, it was hundreds of pounds. Now you're talking about the thousands of the pounds of life-changing money. It is hard. But and like I said, for me, it's just play for the love of the game. Enjoy what you're doing. Go in every day, look forward to it, and just try and get the best out of your career. Try and play at a high level as possible.
Yeah, certainly some good advice there, absolutely. And well, thank you very much, Glenn, for popping by. I'll let you go because I think your dog might just have wanted a walk about 45 minutes
ago. Taken out for a walk, probably, yeah. Thanks, mate.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming on.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.